Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for another day.
Yes.
Thank you for the opportunity to be here today.
Yes.
To worship you together, to sing your praise, and to have your Holy Spirit speak to us.
Yes.
We're here. We're here out of obedience to your word. We're here because we love you. We're here because we desire to draw close to you, to learn from you, and then to go out and do what you've taught us to do. So thank you, Lord, that we can be here together.
Amen.
That we still have a place where we can be. Open our hearts today to hear from your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, there does seem to be a bit of a theme today. And you know, we all have those people in our lives. People that we just cannot seem to get along with. They rub us the wrong way for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter what they say. It's an irritation. And boy, every time they open their mouth, you want to stick a sock in it.
Right.
Particularly that old dirty gym sock you found the other day. Sometimes there's people that we just plain don't like. And, you know, have you ever heard somebody say, well, I love them, but I just don't like them?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if it's truly possible to be that way and have the kind of love that the Lord has, but maybe. I'm certainly not immune. There are people, I have to say, that are in my life that if it really came down to it, if they really needed something that I could provide, I couldn't bring myself to deny them. But at the same time, I think I'd be content if I never saw them again. And they could be friends of people that we do like. They could be co-workers. Sadly, they could even be church members. They could be family members. And our aversion may not even be, there may be good reason. But if we want to walk with God, how should we be treated? Our temptation is to be vengeful, to be malicious, to get back at them, to make them not want to be around us either. To hold a grudge for whatever slights that we think we've received, or to lash out in anger, or maybe even to spend some time plotting revenge, or even to engage in slander and say things about them that we really ought not to say. Or maybe we just avoid them. Now, that's not always a bad idea. Sometimes that's just what you need to do. Sometimes it's even the right thing to do, if that's depending on what's going on and what the reasons are. But is there a better way? I think there is a better way, and that is to see them through God's eyes. You know, He will judge the unrighteous. If somebody is due God's judgment, He'll do it. He'll do it on His time and His way. We don't need to worry about it. But I'll tell you something else. He would much rather them repent. Say, assuming they are actually wrong, He would much rather them repent and join Him.
Amen.
And that's the way we ought to be looking at people. If we're wronged, we should seek reconciliation.
Right.
And we need to choose forgiveness.
Amen.
Guard your tongue. And we talked about that before. But I think it's very important, because we're so tempted to go the other way, and it's so easy. What did James say? Nobody can tame the tongue. Only Jesus did it. we need to choose, make a choice, like Priscilla was saying today, make a choice to build each other up and not tear each other down. To choose our words wisely. To be aware of what needs to be said and what does not need to be said. Timing is everything. You know, the scripture also talks about speaking the truth in love. Sometimes we can speak the truth and end up in love to be found. The time, being aware of the time and the place to say something, even if it is true. Our words come out of our hearts. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And our words, because they come from our hearts, can grieve God's Holy Spirit. Okay. Did you know that you can grieve the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
You might have heard somebody say that.
Yes.
This is one of the ways that we grieve the Holy Spirit. And why is that? Because He desires unity. Because He desires love. So reject that which is evil. Choose kindness and forgiveness. And in this way, we can be in harmony with the Holy Spirit. And that is a much better place to be. I'm going to read today from the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 29 through 32. And then we'll fill in around it. But it says, let no unwholesome word come out of your mouth. But if there is any good word for edification according to the need of the moment, say that, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. All bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and slander must be removed from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, compassionate, forgiving each other. Just as God in Christ also has forgiven you.
Amen.
But to back up and give this a little bit of context, we've kind of talked about the entire book before. I'm just going to focus on chapter 4, which has a focus on unity. On walking, he says in verses 1 through 3, he says to walk worthy of the calling that you have. And all of us, you know, that's not a specific statement, that's a general statement. We are all called. If you love the Lord, if He has called you, if He can call you His child, then you have a calling. We're all called, and He says, walk worthy of that calling that has been placed on your life as a child of the King. Walk in humility, gentleness, and patience. Tolerating one another in love. Sometimes that's what it takes. You know, we're not always going to agree. We're not always going to be in perfect harmony. But because we love each other, we tolerate those things that we don't like. Doesn't mean we all have to agree. Doesn't mean we all have to believe that everything that everyone does is right. Some things are not right.
Uh-huh.
And it doesn't even mean that we have to necessarily tolerate sin.
No.
But it does mean that we ought to act always to live and work in harmony with one another. Acting to preserve peace and unity. In other words, we're pursuing it. We've talked about it before. We're chasing it down. We're pursuing it. We're actively trying to make peace. Because we're one body, one spirit. We have one hope. We have one Lord, the Father. We have one faith and one baptism. Every one of us is a beneficiary of the grace of God. And you've been given spiritual gifts. What are those gifts for? They're for the building up of the body.
Amen.
For building up in unity. For building up in faith. in the knowledge of God, until we come to a place of full maturity. He says, no longer be children, starting in verse 14. No longer be children. Don't be easily misled by false teaching or by deception. Now, how do you do that? You do that by knowing the Word.
Amen.
You do that by being in prayer. You do that by being open and able to hear when the Holy Spirit speaks to you.
Right.
But then he says, speaking the truth in love. We already talked about that a little bit. Probably one of the most misused phrases in the Christian community. But there is a time and a place to speak the truth in love.
Amen.
But Christ Jesus is supposed to be the head of our church. And we grow through love, working together as a body. All the parts working together. And leave off, starting in verse 17, it goes on, and says, leave off the sinful life. If you hadn't figured it out yet, if you got your Bible, it might be helpful to open up the chapter so you can have it in front of you,
yeah. Or
on your phone or whatever. But he says, don't act like you did before. Don't behave as you used to behave. You've been changed. You've been redeemed. Don't be the same way. You have a new life now. You're not ignorant anymore. Don't behave in ignorance like the pagans who don't know any better. Don't walk in darkness anymore. Don't have a hardened heart. And don't be given over to your flesh. He says, put on the new self. Speak the truth. And don't hold on to your anger. That's important. We'll get to that in a minute because it's important. He says, we've talked about that before. We won't talk about it a lot today, but he said, be angry and don't sin.
Right.
And of course, don't steal, but work and share what you have. But choose your words. That's where I want to spend some time today. He says, let no unwholesome word come out of your mouth. Now what does that mean? It's another one of those words we don't use so much anymore. Alternative words, if you look at various translations, might be corrupt, harmful, filthy, rotten. One translation said, I like that one. Amplified Bible puts it foul, adds in foul, profane, worthless, vulgar, or just plain evil. Bad language is not a strong enough word. We're not talking about not cussing. Well, y'all not cuss, but it has a lot. It's a lot bigger than that.
Right.
Talking about the way that we speak to and about other people.
That's right.
Evil pretty much covers it. Because words do have the power to destroy. We ought to be avoiding words that intentionally hurt someone. Avoiding words that wrongfully, or even not so wrongfully, even if it's true, doesn't necessarily need to be said. But avoid words that slander someone.
Amen.
Words that are spoken with evil motive. And sometimes we have to check our hearts and ask ourselves, why are we saying this?
Right.
Is it just so I can sound like I know something? Is it just so I can have a secret and let somebody know something that they don't know that I know? Is it a pride thing? What is the motivation behind what we're saying? The truth can be spoken in hate as well as it can be spoken in love.
True.
Motivation matters. But he says, instead of doing that, if there's any good thing for edification, that's what we ought to be saying.
Amen.
Edification is another one of those Christian words, those Christianese words that nobody else ever uses. But all it means is that we're building up.
Right.
Building, you know, the face of a building is called an edifice. You're building people up.
Right.
You're building the church up. Seek to do good with your words.
Amen.
According to the need of the moment. It's where that timing comes in. Proverbs 25:11 says, like apples of gold in settings of silver is a word spoken in right circumstances. When can be as important as what you say. You know, I think when I read that, I thought about the mistakes that people make sometimes when they're talking with somebody that's going through a hard time or somebody that's grieving. We want to be help. We want to make it better. It's not necessarily out of a bad motive. Sometimes it's out of a good motive. But sometimes we just need to shut up and just be with them and listen.
Right.
But when we speak, let it be in a way that gives grace to those who hear. Let your words, another translation says, let your words be a blessing.
Right.
To those who hear you speak, or to those that you're speaking to, as well as to those who hear you speak. He says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit by attacking those whom he has also redeemed. That's really probably not a good idea. And or by holding in your heart those things which he hates. He says, you've been marked, you've been sealed by him, by the Holy Spirit for the day of redemption. All of us, you have the Holy Spirit living in you.
Amen.
You have his Spirit within you. You represent the Lord.
True.
So take care how you do that. And throw these things away. Throw these worthless things away. Put away bitterness. You know, we all know people. We know people who seem to be bitter. And whether it's some wrong that's been done, something that's happened in their lives. I know in the disability community we talk a lot about bitterness because sometimes we can get that way. Because particularly if it's something that came later, but not even necessarily. I went through a period of bitterness myself. But not only does it hurt those around you, it hurts you the most.
Right.
Put that away. Put away wrath. Now, it's got wrath and anger both there. I always thought those were the same thing, so I went and looked to see what the difference was. And wrath appears to have more the meaning of explosive temper, rage, being just immediately flying off the handle. Put that away. It's not healthy. It's not healthy for you. It's not healthy for anybody around you.
That's
true. He says, put away anger. Now, wait a minute. He just got through saying, be angry and don't sin. And even Jesus got angry. But what he's saying is, don't live that way. Don't hold on to it. Don't sin with it. And don't harbor it. Mm-hmm. Because what will happen if you do that, it'll become bitterness.
Right.
Put away clamor. In other words, noisy quarreling. Shouting at each other. Which we've already talked about slander. And then malice, basically evil intent. I mean, we all know this. We all, you know, we all know the Lord here, presumably. If we don't, we can fix that real quick.
Right.
But we all know these things are wrong. But sometimes we forget as in the course of our day, we forget that the things we say can be just as damaging as the things that we do.
True.
So instead, be kind to each other, including the words that you speak. Be compassionate. That word means to feel with. And not only that, it moves you to action.
Right.
Compassion is not pity. You're becoming involved. You're actually doing something. Be compassionate toward one another. And imagine the world. This is something that will help. If you're having trouble dealing with somebody, and it's something that I have been teaching myself to do. And, you know, people always, you know, the old saying, you know, walk a mile in their shoes. Every single one of us has lived long enough to know that everybody's got baggage. Everybody's got things in their life that have affected their outlook, affected the way they see things, affected the way they react to things. And that doesn't mean I'm not excusing our bad behavior and saying, oh, well, it's all right. You're wounded, you're upset, so, you know, if this happened to you, I guess that makes it all right, you can be that way. No, it's still not all right. But from our perspective, we can be understanding. We can be gracious. We can be forgiving. And we can imagine how we might react in the same situation. And forgive.
Right.
And we know it's necessary. We've all been in church long enough. We've all read where it says, if you don't forgive, the Heavenly Father won't forgive you. But why is that? It's because forgiveness is at the heart of God. He set up everything. He knew from the beginning of time, He knew what we would do. He knew that we would fall. He planned Jesus from the beginning, it says. Because His heart is relationship. His heart is forgiveness. And if we, I believe that God showed me this because it was always a hard thing for me to understand. Well, if you don't forgive, you're not going to be forgiven. Wait a minute, isn't there only one unpardonable sin? Is this it? Have we misunderstood what that is? But I believe why He says that is because if we cannot forgive, then we truly do not know the heart of God. We do. If we can't forgive, we really don't know Him.
Sure.
And that's why He says, if you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. You don't know your God. You don't know the heart of God.
Amen.
Because the heart of God is forgiveness and love. And so, kind of going back over it again. Think before we speak. We need to think before we speak.
Yeah.
Is there any redeeming quality in what I'm about to say? You know what? I will be the first to admit, I do try to be careful, but I've been guilty of saying things that I probably should not have said. And for any of you who heard it, please accept my apology. Sometimes some things just don't need to be said in the presence of others. But think about what you say. Think before you speak. Is this going to help anybody, or is this only going to hurt?
Sure.
What is my motivation? Why am I doing it? Am I doing it out of anger? Am I doing it because I want to cut them down the side? Because I want some revenge? Am I doing it because my pride's been hurt? Or am I doing that out of compassion?
Right.
We're doing it out of love. And finally, is this the time? Some things need to be said, but you just need to do it at the right time, at the right place. The objective ought always to be grace and blessing. And sometimes those harsh words are necessary, but always with the aim of redemption. It's always what we're trying to do. Sometimes it means we've got to exert a little bit of control over our emotions. You know, our emotions are God-given. Now, as someone who has struggled over the years with with depressive type emotions. This was something that I always wanted to be. I always sort of envied Spock from Star Trek. I wanted to be Spock. He didn't have to worry about any of that. Well, actually, if you're really into that, you find out that he struggled with it as much as anyone. But I wanted to be like that because that seemed to me just a lot easier. But emotions are given to us from God. God feels. And sometimes they come on with little warning. They hit us like a storm. The helpful method that will help us, if we know that we know our triggers. There's that ugly word. I almost hate to use it because it's been sullied by the popular culture. But we all know our triggers. It's helpful to decide beforehand, all right, I know in this situation what's likely to happen. I'm going to decide now how I'm going to react.
Right.
And choose to forgive. I didn't say it was easy. We all know it's not easy. And if it's an ongoing problem, it may be something that you have to keep doing. And that makes it real hard.
Right.
And it is a process, and it takes time. But remember how much you have been forgiven. That makes it easier, too. And the older we get, the more we realize how much we've been forgiven.
Right.
You remember the story of Jesus and the adulterous woman in John chapter 8. And what happened when he went there, they brought her and they said, we caught this woman in the act. What do you want to do? Of course, they're trying to track her. There's no good answer that he can give that doesn't get him in trouble with somebody. But he stoops down, he writes on the ground. We don't know what he wrote on the ground. But he stands up and he says, all right, first, if you don't have any sin, you'd be the first one to throw a stone at him. And what happened? It says that they all left from the oldest to the youngest. We've all done things. We've all been sinners. We've all needed God's forgiveness.
Amen.
And so, he does offer it. And so I'm just going to wrap it up with one final question. And whether you're in here or whether you're listening over Facebook or on the podcast or at some future date, the question still applies. And he's right there with you, and you don't have to be in the presence of an altar. I mean, eventually you need to make it public. But he's always there. He's always waiting.
Right.
And so I just want to wrap up with this one final question. Is he still waiting for you to ask? So thank you, Lord. Thank you that you have offered us forgiveness. Thank you that you have made a way for us to be in your presence, to come boldly before your throne, as we talked about last week. Help us, Lord, as we strive to grow together as one, as unity, as a church that loves each other and that loves you, and that it radiates that love to anybody whom we come in contact with, anybody who walks through these doors. Let this be a place, Lord, where we follow you and lead others to you.
Mm-hmm.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.